you happy because there's one story in the Word of God. It's just Jesus died for sinners, of which you are one, and you qualify. You qualify for all the blessing of heaven. Isn't that fun? Amen. I'm so excited to hear that message. Okay, close your Bible. No, I'm just kidding. No, we'll look at Psalm 119, 89. We're so excited, Lord, to hear your voice and to receive your word and to receive the blessing of the kingdom of heaven. And so, Father, today as we open your word, we thank you that you're transforming us and changing us, causing us to walk in thanksgiving and joy as never before. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, Psalm 119, verse 89, the section we're reading is Lamed. Lamed. Everybody say Lamed. All right. That is one of the Hebrew alphabet letters that we're working with and walking through. And we begin where he says, forever, O Lord, verse 89, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your word is settled. Isn't that powerful? Your word. His word is the last word. God's word is the last word. And it's settled in heaven. And one thing about heaven is when you've received Jesus, where does heaven live? Heaven lives on the inside of you. Heaven lives on the inside of you. I'm filled with heaven today. Amen? I'm filled with heaven. So, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Isn't it His word? I want you to say this. His word is settled in me.
His word is settled in me.
His word is settled in me. In other words, there's no... And I don't care what you read today that you thought, well, what was that? What did that mean? You don't have to understand everything to declare the word of God is settled. I remember my mother used to say, when I asked her, why did I have to do that? What did she say? Because I said so. Did any other parents ever say that? Short answer is, when the kid is walking toward the street, you don't have time for a long explanation. Or, you don't have time for these things. So you just say, because I said so. Say, now! And we should be walking in that, amen. And the Lord is doing that in you, is putting you in a position where you obey Him immediately. Obedience is not because so God will like you. Obedience is not so God will save you. Obedience to His Word is because He loves you. Amen? Are you confident? If you're confident God loves you, obedience is not about salvation. Obedience is just about wisdom. Amen. Obedience is just about wisdom. Amen? So some people want to say, okay, since Jesus loved me and I'm not under the law, that means I don't have to obey anything. Well, that's a dumb thing to say. Amen? What you want to do is, because you believe that God loved you and gave you everything, He gave you His Word, so He actually says, you know what, it behooves you to do what I tell you. Amen? It's good for you to obey the Word of God. Not because... Oh, he's going to be mad at me and I won't be saved. No. Everybody say no. Amen. Absolutely not. Amen. Obedience is for joy. Amen. It's for joy. Because again, obedience is, we're not talking, we're way past salvation and the fact that you're justified and that the Holy Ghost is living on the inside of you and He's speaking to you and you hear His voice and you just begin to just follow Him. Amen? And you begin to follow, and you follow Him immediately. Amen. We live by every word. What are we? We live by every word that is constantly proceeding out of the mouth of God. We live by that. I guess you could almost say we die if we don't. But we live. In other words, He came to give you life, and life what?
Everlasting.
Mediocrely. Life everlasting. Life abundantly. So as we hear His word, as we hear Him daily, as in our walk, we're obeying. We're obeying daily. And just as He leads us. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Jim wouldn't preach that. Yes, he does. He absolutely preaches that. His obedience is entirely the goal of chair six, is walking in obedience. Chair five, walking in obedience, just kind of halting, just kind of jerkily, and then finally to walk in chair six, which is the outward demonstration of the gospel to your neighbor. Amen?
Amen.
So obedience is the walk of joy. Obedience is the walk of joy. So, forever, O Lord, your word is settled. So when I say that, his word is settled. His word is my word. In other words, every word he says, I repeat that word. His word is settled. His word is gospel. His word is the way I live. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Over in Colossians 1:23, it says, continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Continue in the word, grounded and settled. One thing about being settled is you're not going anywhere, and he's not going anywhere. Amen? Your marriage should be like that, settled. You know, you can't run me off no matter what you do. No matter what you say, I'm here for you forever. There's my mom and Glenn. That's me and Janet. Walter and Teresa. Can't run me off. You're stuck with me. Praise the Lord. You're stuck with Jesus. Amen. That's true. So this, are you settled? Another thing about being settled is that you can't be disappointed and even get to the disappointment, meaning you can't be disappointed in such a way that you despair. Okay? So you can't despair of, you know, like Janet and I would, we may have an argument with, but we never ever even go to any point of despair like, oh, she doesn't love me anymore, and oh, something's going to happen now. No. It's settled. That is settled. And you want to have your life settled. And to declare that my life is settled. Lindsay and Marty, they're settled. I mean, God is just, from here on out, basically from the day they got married to the day Jesus comes, I mean, they're together forever. Amen? Tammy and Jeff, you know. It's just, the gospel has settled something. So many people in the world have no settledness to them. They're just constantly on a roller coaster, and they don't know. They're almost looking for a way to get off. But you know, you want to be settled, and just declare that and get into the Word of God and let Him settle you. You know, you want to be settled. Amen. Norman and Lori, settled. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
That's it. Amen. Grounded and settled. So we're settled in the Word of God, and then daily or throughout our life, even as things occur, you have to determine, okay, no, that doesn't move me. David said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed, I will sing and give praise. Amen? Paul said, you know, none of these, he's got perils on the sea, perils in the woods, perils up and down the road. None of these things moves me. None of the perils of life move you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Man, you're the awesome church. Praise the Lord. It sounded like almost everybody said that. Hallelujah. So forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Okay, verse 90, look at that. Your faithfulness is to all generations. You have established the earth. That's like being settled, isn't it? You have established the earth. Your faithfulness. Well, faithfulness is like establishment. Faithfulness is you can always depend. He's settled. He said, I love you, and he'll never say anything different. He's loving you. He's walking with you. God walks with me. I'm not afraid that He'll... He said He would never leave me or forsake me. Amen? No matter what's going on. Well, what happened here? You know, I don't ask that question. See, people ask that question. What happened here? Why did this happen here? No. God is my rock. He knows everything. I don't know everything. I'm at peace. Amen? And I guarantee you today, you can walk in peace. Starting right now. You can walk in peace right now. If you determine that everything is settled. Is that God loves you. He is not looking for you to behave. He's not looking to you to perform. He's not looking at you to do something. What He does desire is that you eat this word and that you get a hold of everything that He's got for you. See, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We live! And whatever else you're doing, if you're not doing that, I'd submit to you that you're not living. At least you're not living life abundantly. Amen? I'm living life abundantly because I live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I live by that. You're getting the word live, right? Not just I wake up and breathe. Just barely breathing. No, I live like life abundantly. That's the living that I lived. Amen? Yes. Your faithfulness is to all generations. Well, He was faithful to Abraham, He was faithful to Moses, but He kind of weakened on the faithfulness after Jesus went to heaven. Or He kind of weakened on the faithfulness after the apostles. Maybe after Martin Luther, he weakened on his faithfulness because I don't know. The Word of God declares that He is faithful to all generations. Is He faithful to you? Yes. He is absolutely faithful to me. He has never forsaken me. Your faithfulness to all generations. You have established the earth and it abides. You have established the earth and it is not going anywhere. You birthed me and I'm not going anywhere. My mom's in heaven. She didn't go anywhere. She's in heaven. She's walking around with Jesus, checking out the house. You know, everything. She's right there. She's having the best time. The Word of the Lord says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now somebody says somebody's sleeping. Well, okay. I don't mind you saying that. That's fine. I'm going with the other one. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I mean, you be there. If you're on to the other one, then you know you'll see the Lord one day. I'm into seeing Him today. I'm okay. If you're resting until Jesus comes, I'm okay with that. Praise the Lord. But I'm at rest. I don't know about you. I'm totally at rest. You've established the earth. Now over in Job. Job chapter 38, when he says you've established the earth. I just want to read a little bit there. Okay. Is it 38 or 39? I thought I had the verse written down right. But he said, oh, there it is, verse 4. He says, where were you when I laid the foundation? Okay, remember the faithfulness and remember the established that we read in the last verse? He says to Job, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Who's this guy who thinks he knows anything? Gird up your loins now like a man, for I will demand of you and answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, say so if you have some understanding of this. Who's laid the measures of thereof, if you know, and who has stretched out the line upon it? Or where were the foundations fastened? Or who had laid the cornerstone of it? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with the doors, or who, when it broke forth, if it had issued out of the womb, when I made the cloud the garment thereof, the thick darkness a swaddling behind it, and broke up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors. And presently you shall come, but no further. Here's what he said to the waves. He said, you shall come, proud waves, and you shall be stayed. So God created the heavens and earth and told Job, he said, where were you when all this happened? I've established the earth. I've established the earth. I've established my word, and I've established you. Where were you? You weren't quite prepared yet. You weren't quite formed yet. But God formed you after he had created the heavens and the earth. Again, verse 91, he said, they continue this day, the heavens and the earth, continue this day according to your ordinance for all of your servants. So God settled everything. Everything has been settled. So it was incumbent upon me to agree with it. Amen? Now, somebody else can say, you know, well, I don't know if there's God. Well, that's fine. You can say that. You're totally within your purview to say that. But be honest. Don't just, you know, most people want to be an atheist because they don't like law. That's most people don't want to believe in God because they think God is a law. That's the reason most people who knew that God loves you and he has created a means by which you will live forever and be free of death and sickness and disease and hell forever, I think somebody'd go with it. But what they're afraid of is God's out to kill their joy now. Amen? So the problem is that our prayer is, see, we don't hate anybody. We don't hate anybody. We don't hate a Muslim. We don't hate a Buddhist. We don't hate a Hindu. We don't hate anybody who's any different color or speaks any different language than me. We love everybody. Christians don't have hate speech. Amen? Those who believe in Jesus Christ have no hate speech. It's all love. Jesus said one thing, love. God said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you do yourself. Amen? So no matter what anybody says, it doesn't matter what anybody says, is you're walking in love. That's your heart. Amen? That's your heart. That's your heart. You're walking in love. So verse 91, they, the heavens and the earth, continue to this day. They continue according to his ordinance. As he said here in Job, he told the waves, come this far and no further. The world is under his command. For all are your servants. Look at verse 92 here in Psalm 119. Unless your law had been my delight, unless your law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. See, his law gives me encouragement that he loves me. His law encourages me that everything is going my way.
Well, I didn't read a law like that.
Well, I did. Everything that he's written is all for me. Amen? Everything that he's written is all on my side. Well, I had a thing happen the other day. Well, I'm sure you did. I did too. You know what? The love of God is above and beyond anything that ever just happened to you. Because he's carrying you and he's walking with you and he loves you with an everlasting love. He sent his son to die for you and be raised for you. And then he raised you up and you're living in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in him right now. Amen? Yes. And you get to tell somebody else about it. And even if you don't tell them, they're looking at you. And they're looking at you going, wow, what's that person got that I don't have? They may get irritated at you because you're too happy. Right? Sometimes it's just happy people irritate you. Yeah, because you want to be grumpy. Huh? Amen. I mean, you know, sometimes we just feel like grumpy is awesome. Grumpy is good. Grumpy is helpful. That's okay. You can be grumpy. Just, you know, it's like God comes up upon you like you come upon your little grandchildren and tickle them. And he's wanting to stir you up and give you joy in the middle of your problem. Amen? He wants to give you joy in the middle of your trouble. He's the lover of your soul. He wants your soul happy. He doesn't want you just to believe, but he wants you to be happy. That is, he wants you to be joyful and walk in peace and be a demonstration of the gospel and the good news to somebody. Amen. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. You remember back a few verses ago, he says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, for now I've hoped in your word. Affliction can actually work to your benefit because you forgot about the word of the Lord. You know, you're just bumping along. It's okay. Affliction doesn't hurt you. It does not hurt you. Say, affliction doesn't hurt me. Amen. Just sharpens me. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Unless your law had been my delight. Psalm 1 verse 2 says, we pull this from verse 1. Blessed is the man. And it goes on to say who doesn't do these things. But verse 2 says, so you would say, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. So our verse here, 92, was, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. But Psalm 1, verse 2 says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. That's a delight in the law of the Lord. Amen? That's how you delight. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Paul says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. And in that particular chapter, he's talking about a struggle that's going on between the flesh, which doesn't like the law of God or the declarations of the kingdom of heaven, the truth of God's mercy and his word, fighting against the law of God on the inward man, which has changed me and transformed me and caused me to walk in his peace. Verse 93. I will never forget your precepts. I will never forget your precepts. Now, here in this psalm, God uses multiple words for his law, for his word, his commandments, his precepts, his word, his law, his statutes. All are what? The word of God. The word of God. What do we know about the word of God? What did it do? He spoke and, trying to get that finger straight now. I'll use this one. He spoke and it was. He created. Amen? So what does the word of God do in you? Creates. Amen. The word of God doesn't, no man ever yet could keep the word of God. But the word of God, when the Spirit comes on the inside of you, what happened to Paul? Do you remember? How learned was Paul in the Word of God? He was the top guy. He was the best student. He was the top guy in the entire Hebrew school of rabbis. Went to the best school. Filled with the Word of God. Now, what happened to him one day? What happened to him one day? One day he was riding on his donkey or horse, and God knocked him off his high horse. Or his little donkey. And that He filled him with the Holy Spirit. And what happened to that Word of God? It brought forth fruit, didn't it? So you can be filled with the Word of God, and if you're not born again, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, it won't do you any good. It's helpful to know how to do one thing or another, but on the inside of you, when the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you. I mean, he wrote almost the entirety of the whole New Testament, declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he had done and how he had transformed the Jewish religion into the deliverance from sin without man's ability and without man's strength. And he declared it, and it became the New Testament because the Holy Spirit hit the Word of God, and boom, it blossomed, just like this Psalm chapter 1. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night, and he shall be like a tree which brings forth fruit in his season, planted by the rivers of water. That's the water, the Holy Ghost. Planted by the rivers of water, brings forth fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's you. Amen? So the Word of God, when the Holy Spirit hits it, it transforms and changes you. It's not something you do, it's something He does, isn't it? So you fill yourself up with God's Word, and you begin to see the living God begin to work on the inside of you and change you, transform you. Amen? Now there are times that your flesh will want to argue with that. And that's what Paul was talking about in Romans 7. That your flesh has a tendency to try to argue with that. But what you've determined from your heart is that whatever you said, I'll do. Whatever you said, I'll do. And it's not something that it's not something that God is looking at you saying, okay, oh, if you don't do it, boy, I'm going to get you. No, if you don't do it, you're going to get yourself. If you don't do it, you're going to trip over everything you've come across. Amen? You see? God's trying to get you to avoid the pitfalls when you're heading right for them. That's what the Word of God does. That's why you tell your child, say, don't touch that hot stove. It's hot! You know, you don't not love your child. Well, he wants to touch it, honey. Let him touch it. You know, I mean, we ought to let, you know. You know, it's like the devil talking to Eve. Well, she wants to eat it. Go ahead and let her. You don't want to let her eat that fruit that's going to kill her. You know, we want to let our kids do stuff that, you don't want to let your kids do stuff that is going to kill them. You know it's going to stop them. It's going to hurt them. So that's what God's law is all about. Amen? So in His law, does He meditate both day and night? Hallelujah. This whole psalm is about the Word of God. This whole psalm is about the Word of God. It's encouraging you to listen to and to hear the Word of God. And that the Word of God is your friend. Amen? The Word of God is your helper. The Word of God is transforming and changing you by the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of you. Not because you do it, but because He does it on the inside of you. All right, verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for with them you have quickened me. With them you've made me alive. I'll never forget. Say, never forget. Amen. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. You know that one. That's an easy one. Forget not all of His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So somebody has to tell their soul, like Paul in Romans chapter 7, you have to tell your soul what to do. Because your soul is grumpy and grippy and doesn't like eating its spinach. So you tell your soul what to do. Well, I want to complain. Well, hush. You're not going to get to complain. You're going to rejoice today. Why? Because it's making you happy. Really? Yeah. Rejoice. Give thanks. Jump up and down. No. As most church members, I want to jump up and down in church. Jump up and down. No. I'll be embarrassed. Now, if you don't jump up and down, I'm going to tell you to run the aisle. Then where will you be? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. It's like you're making an announcement to all of your insides. Tell your insides what to do. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. Did you hear me?
Always.
Well, see, that's what the Bible says. Again, I say rejoice. He said it twice. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 38 says, "And the covenant I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you follow other gods." Well, there's two things there. There's a command in there, but there's a promise in there, isn't there? Because He's in the Old Testament, it's a promise. It's a command, but it's also a promise. "And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget." Okay. Just say okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not going to forget the covenant that He made with me. I'm not going to forget. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4, verse 5. "Get wisdom and get understanding and forget it not." Well, where are you going to get that? Right here? Or right here? Wrong book. You're going to get that in here. Get wisdom and get understanding and forget it not. Don't forget it. "Neither decline from the words of my mouth." So don't forsake it. Don't let off. Don't let up. "Neither decline from the words of my mouth." Don't decline from the words of His mouth. Quicken is what? To make alive. He's going to make you alive. I'm going to read verse 93 again. "I will never forget your precepts, for with them you have quickened me." And Psalm 119, verse 25, further back, he says, "My soul," listen, interesting thing. We read this before back in a previous message. "My soul cleaves to the dust." Your soul. That's your soul. That's your old man. Your old thinking. It cleaves to the dust. It hangs on to the old ways. It hangs on to old thinking, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed that? Your soul kind of tends to digress and decline, like that previous scripture said. Your soul tends to decline and fall backward. "Quicken me according to your word." So my soul clings to the dust. But he says, "Quicken me." Well, there's something different from your soul between you and your soul. Amen? You are the spirit of God, the spirit man that God's recreated. Quicken me. My soul clings to the dust, but I don't worry about my soul. I'm not checking my soul. I'm not listening to my old man and my old complaints, and those things which try to drag me backwards and say, well, you know, look at this and look at that, and let's figure some way to complain about what's happening in my world. No. He says, "My soul cleaves to the dust. Quicken me. Take me on further. Quicken me according to your word." Psalm 119, verse 37. "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity." That's what that is. That's what, if you're looking at your soul, you're beholding what? Vanity. Vain things. "So turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me." There it is. There's the me again. It's a distinction from your soul and your eyes. "Quicken me quicken me in thy way." Quicken me in your way. Make me alive. Put me in your way. Put me in your path. Psalm 119, verse 40. "Behold how I have longed," I'm going to read my writing, "longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." I've longed after your precepts. That's now I. That's not my soul. That's not my eyes. That's me. "Behold, how I have longed after your precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." As I follow after his His precepts, His word. Quicken me in your righteousness. That's my expectation. Look at verse 94. I'm yours. I'm yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. So that's my expectation. He made a promise, so I'm calling him on it. He said, I'm yours. Save me. I'm yours. Save me. For I have sought after I did what you told me, and I've expected great result. Psalm 119, verse 45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Are you walking in liberty? Remember we talked about voting. As that's part of walking in liberty is walking in Jesus. Walking in God, walking in total freedom to do the will of God. You're walking in total freedom to do the will of God. Nobody can stop you. See, we're pulling all these verses back out of Psalm 119 and other places. Psalm 119, verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. They had almost consumed me, but I forsook not your precepts. So what does that mean? It means they couldn't get me. Can't catch me. You can't get me. They laid a trap for me. They dug a pit for me. And they've fallen into it themselves. Why? Because I'm filled with your word. I have wisdom that other people don't have. I'm faster on my feet than anybody else. The word of the Lord delivers me, sets me free. See, all we're talking about today is walking in total confidence that God is doing what He promised. And you can be happy at any moment, at any time, and you have no reason to fear anything anywhere. Amen? You just wake up every morning and just rejoice and having a great time, knowing that God is going to finish what He started. And when he birthed you, He's going to bring you into full fruition. He's going to grow you up, and you're going to be totally joyful, walking in total joy every single day. Did a problem come? Yes. Did you kind of wince a little bit at the problem? Yeah, your flesh did. But you immediately were settled. You're immediately settled because of His promise. Psalm 119, 104. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. It changes me. I hate every false way. It's because I'm yours, because I've sought your precepts. Then Psalm 119, 173. Let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have expectation that no matter what comes my way, God's going to help me. Because I chose His precepts. His precepts. I don't even know all of His precepts. But I'm confident. I says, yeah, give me the whole package. I'll take the whole package. I'll take everything you got. Because I know that no matter what comes my way, I'm okay. And you love me. And I love everybody else. You know what? I believe this. I believe this word changes me to where I don't take an offense to anything. Amen. I'm just filled with His word. I don't take an offense. Somebody wants to try to offend me, all I do is just love them. And I say, dear Lord, the poor Lord, help that person. You know, they're coming at me with a knife, or coming at me with coming at Facebook with a big long swear word because they don't like my politics. I just love that person. You know, I just love that person. They don't understand. Lord, give them understanding. Amen? Give them wisdom. Give them your word. Give that person your word. Let me give it to them. Verse 95 said, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. So I don't care about the wicked waiting for me. I'm turning back to your testimonies. I don't care about the wicked. What are the wicked doing? Why? What are the wicked to me? Nothing. They're people who God loves. The wicked are people who God loves. I mean, as a Christian, your job is not to point out the wicked's wickedness. It's just to love them. Amen?
Well, Jesus did it.
Well, Jesus just did it because they tried to stand on their wickedness. They just tried to stand on their righteousness. He just knocked them off and said, hey, you know, no, I love you. The only reason Jesus ever rebuked the righteous is because he loved them. Is that the reason you're rebuking the wicked? It's because I love them. That's it. You know, I see so many people that are just so angry, you know, in politics. I just see so many people. It's like, you're a believer, right? Love them. Love them. Amen. Psalm 27 verse 2 says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Don't worry about the wicked. There's no problem for you. Read Psalm 91. I won't read it, but just go read Psalm 91. Read 27, all of 27, and read all of Psalm 91. I mean, God takes care of you. Amen. You're not sweating it. In fact, your joy is full. Into Psalm 27 says, for I would have fainted if I had not believed that I was going to see the goodness of the Lord right now. Amen. Before I go to heaven, I'm going to see the goodness of God now. Amen?
Amen?
Well, what about all the wicked people? I don't care about the wicked people. All I know is I'm going to see the goodness of God right now, today. Full expectation. What about on the news? No, don't worry about the news. Just love them. Amen. Psalm 96, last verse, 96. I have seen an end of all perfection. But your command is exceeding broad. Psalm verse 92, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So that last verse, verse 96, I've seen an end of all perfection, but your command is exceeding. In other words, I've seen what the end of the world looks like when things are, you know, and the enemy, the Lord is telling you this, is that I've seen the end of it. And David is telling you this. I know the end of this world is, you know, is not on God's side, but his commandment is bigger than all of it.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. No matter what you see and what you think you see about how things are progressing, and no matter what the end of it looks like, his command is bigger. His word is bigger. His love is bigger. Your love is bigger than anything that's going on in the world that you could look at and say, oh, how awful. No, because you're the happiest people on the face of the earth. You walk out of here with joy and thanksgiving and peace because his word is transforming you on the inside. It's making you brand new every day, every hour, every minute. I need thee every hour. I need thee every minute. Again, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Tell me if you understand, God said to Job. The flesh doesn't understand. Trouble comes. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome all of that. And you're in me. Chapter 17, John chapter 17. I'm in you, you're in me, we're in us. So you're walking in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And all those guys just ran away when Jesus was crucified. They finally came back together and the Holy Spirit came and baptized all of them. And the world was transformed and changed because of the Holy Spirit moving upon the Word of God. Amen? How powerful this is. This whole psalm is about the Word of God and how the Word of God is changing you. I hope it's blessing you as much as it is me. It's transforming me. It's changing me. I'm happy. This about the Word, that about the Word. You know, I took a lot of time to read it. If you'll just go back and read verses 89 through 96 here in the next few hours, I'm telling you, it'll change you. Amen? You only have to read 8 verses a day, and you can do that. You know, you can read that. If you do this psalm, you can do it kind of like it's 22 sections. You can probably do it like 5 days a week and finish it in a month, right? Isn't that about 22 weekdays in a month? You can even take the weekends off. Because this whole thing just talks about how the Word of God transforms and changes you. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just worship You. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the power of the Word of God loving us, manifesting Yourself in and through us. Thank You that Your commandments are not grievous because we're filled with Your Spirit. And we delight to do Thy will. We delight to do Thy will. So we thank You that You're leading us, You're guiding us, and it has nothing to do with justification because we're justified by faith alone. And then Your Word indwells us and begins to transform and change us and causes us to walk after Your ways. So we give You glory and praise and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
All the kingdoms shall tumble.